The last presentation today is another presentation on methodologies. That's what this section's about. And Kathy's going to be very kind to tell us about some economic terms that we tend to cast about often in our workshop, our workspace. Spillovers, networks. We have our own unique understanding of them. We've referred to them today, and hopefully Kathy will give us a better insight as to what they do and what they're all about.
Hi, I'm Kathy McTighe. Before I start, I should say that one great thing about working at ATP and EAO has been the opportunity to explore new methodologies and new theories and innovation. What's been nice is we've been able to work with a lot of outside academics and contractors who are exploring new ways to look at innovation and track it and find out what new tools are. I'm going to be talking also about patents, but Connie's given you a really good background in patent citation and analysis. Mine is going to be a quick overview of a methodology that a professor from Portland, Dr. Fogarty, and his team developed using fuzzy logic and patent citation in slices of geography, technology space, and the lab itself. This presentation is a little bit complicated. I'm going to breeze over it a little bit quickly, but all my notes are available in the handout section of these slides, so if you want to click on them, you'll be able to see what it's about. Basically, the aim that Fogarty was aiming on was to develop an abbreviated spillover systems model using hypothetical patent data and patent citations. For everybody, networks and system analysis of networks is a pretty new field, and it's going on all over the place. I mean, it's in Marburger's list of new areas to look at. People are thinking about it in terms of biology, just the whole idea of networks. This one is going to be looking at the labs citing other labs back and forth, and how can we develop that into a system. So a system means the existence of a hierarchy of technologies and R&D organizations and regions connected by a communications network. The system can be described by four key components: an invention, which is embodied in a patent. Units of the system would be a particular R&D lab in a particular technology region and year. So you have time periods we're talking about. And then a channel of communications. And then we're going to use citations as a proxy for communications. So it would be what we're looking at are knowledge spillovers, and it would be the flow of knowledge, which is dependent upon the position of two units within the system citing each other and the strength of the citation. These are the things that pretty much networks do. They reveal the generation exchange of scientific and technical knowledge. The implicit hypothesis linking concepts of spillovers and research networks is the closer and denser the system of linkages is among organizations, the greater the likelihood of knowledge spillovers. Now, we all operate with that hypothesis in mind when we're looking at citation analysis, but this novel methodology tries to rank and understand it with a fuzzy logic model to see how strong the communication is between these different labs. And the methodology builds on past research of identifying and quantifying knowledge spillovers using patent citations. The approach identifies spillover patterns, like I said, across organizations, technological areas, geographic regions, and industries. It would identify research entities organized as a network with a node in the network, the particular research organization. Here we're going to look at different labs like IBM, MIT, and Honeywell that are engaged in research in a particular industry. The extent of the communication between the nodes is initially measured by the extent to which the patents are assigned to each node that cite patents assigned to other nodes. The structure of the resulting communications network results from assigning the nodes to clusters in organizational, technological, and geographic space, which is what Connie was talking about before in terms of the clusters of how knowledge is disseminated back and forth. Once the nodes have been assigned to networks, the system influence of each node is measured. So this is where the fuzzy logic comes in. Each node's system influence is based upon the strength of its communication with other nodes, weighted by the strength of communication with the interacting nodes with the rest of the system. The measure of influence can be aggregated in any dimension, and it allows for ranking of spillover potential within an R&D network by organization, technology class, or region. Here's where we start building the construction of a hypothetical pairwise citation pattern. These figures have been taken out of a publication which is available on our on our website. That's why you're seeing figure two. It's straight out of the publication. This figure illustrates the idea that each node has a location in organizational, technological, and geographic space. As shown in the figure, the activities of organization IBM in technology area 1 in New York constitute a node distinct from IBM's activities in other technologies in the same location. So what we're doing is we're separating citations to a particular technology by a particular lab in a particular period of time. And you can see the way they're sectioned out and the way the arrows are citing back and forth. Suppose that for a particular network, the nodes shown in figure 2 comprise the entire network. We calculate a truth value, which is fuzzy logic measure of the magnitude of the interaction for every pair of nodes. The interaction measure is based on the patent citations between the nodes in both directions. These pairwise values are then used in fuzzy clustering algorithm to map the full R&D network of the node. Figure 3 using patent citations illustrates a one-way knowledge flow from organizations in one time period to organizations in the following three time periods. So you've got the organizations A, B, and C. You've got T1, T2, and T3 as time periods, and you've got the numbers running across the top as the number of times that the organization was cited. Our example includes three organizations, three time periods, and patents have been assigned to A, B, and C. In practice, the basic unit of analysis, like I said, is the lab, the technology, the location, and the time. The corresponding fraction in Figure 3 is simply the number of times the cited organization in a particular time period is cited by the citing organization. Like I said, it sounds a little complicated, but if you look at the publication, it's actually pretty interesting the way it's done. Divided by the total number of times the organization is cited in that time period. So what you're developing is you're developing relative citations against a certain number so that you get a value. It's not a hard value, but it's a comparative value. It's like when you're driving on the highway, if you think about fuzzy logic, everybody is going a certain speed, but you're going faster than somebody else who's going faster than somebody else, and you start with a minimum and compare against that. What Fogarty did is basically gave these numbers values, and he called it a truth of an interaction based on the cited behavior. The fractions indicate the extent to which a cited organization contributes knowledge to citing organizations. And if we were to associate each fraction to a measure of percentage of such fractions that are below the value, like I said, you're comparing against a certain number, then you would be ranking a flow out of material or cited or citations to the citing organization and in a time period relative to all such flows. And in fuzzy logic, this would be referred to as a truth value. And Table 1 constructs truth values representing the cited numbers contained in Figure 3. So you get the truth of one-way knowledge flows on cited behavior here. And I'll repeat here how they did it. We place the flow from cited unit 8 time 1 in time period 1 to citing unit B time period 2 relative to all the units citing 8 period time 1, which is the fraction of A time 1 being cited by B through time 2 plus or minus 0.50. Then we place a relative measure in relation to all such relative measures and found a certain percentage of fractions across all one-way flows are below the fraction of the A time 1 period being cited by B time 1 period 2. Am I turning the power off? The sum of such a measure for cited organizations by time period would yield a ranking of the organizations on the knowledge being contributed by the organization. The sum would be high if the cited organization contributes knowledge to a very large number of similarly influential organizations. The high sum would reflect a rich source of information. We're talking about knowledge spillovers. So if you've got a lot of citations coming from one source, you would assume that it was contributing a lot of knowledge. And this gives you a ranking out of A time, in organization A in time period 1, how it's being cited out. So you can see that B in time period 2 is the one communicating with it the most, and then it goes from there. In our example, it's set around AT1 on its being cited behavior shown in figure 5. The three members of the set are the interactions with B in time period 2 and A in time period 2. The membership value of the interaction with respect to this set is the number 0.7333, which is the highest. In table 2, figure 6, the rest of these are doing the same thing. The previous slides that I used in figures 3, 4, and 5 were based on table 1 to explain the methodology when applied to cited patent behavior. In a parallel fashion, you would figure 6, 7, and 8 illustrate the methodology when it is applied to citing behavior. It constructs a set of B as citing or learning behavior. So this is the flip side of it. I won't go through explaining how that works again because, like I said, it's to give you a flavor of how to construct this model, not to teach you how to do it today. So you would get the same kind of truth of one-way flows as evidenced by citing patterns versus cited patterns. And then you would get the same cluster with the values of the strongest exchanges of citing behavior. And then from that information, you could rank the different labs on their ability to learn. So based on how you develop these relative values from the fuzzy logic, you could learn which labs were more easily, which labs learned more easily in the sense that they cited certain already cited labs to the ones that were citing the less. So you would assume that they learned the less or they didn't learn as quickly. Let me skip over to figure 9. I'm almost done. This model assumes that an organization interacts, A interacts with organization B. B benefits not only from A's knowledge, but also from the organization that A interacts with. So you see A here. The arrows out means B is citing to A, and B learns from all the other C, D, and E that A cites to. So the knowledge flow from A to B is determined by the truth of the interaction between the center and the member, as well as the group value associated with the center. As the group value multiplied by the interaction between the center and the member measures the flow from the group around the center to the member, the group value captures second-level diffusion effects. Anyway, it gives you some sense of how you could look at, you could chart these exchanges in terms of learning to see which nodes were stronger and which ones were weaker. And this is one that's doing it in terms of technology strength. Finally, I'm going to finish here with the MEMS R&D network around the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and this is just a piece of it to give you another sense of how it would work in real life and real time. Figure 10 illustrates one segment of a specific R&D network for micro mechanical systems, or MEMS, centered on MIT over a period of 1985 to 1995. Actually, the full network is much, much larger. This segment is centered on MIT, as you can see in the center, which is ranked 20th in the full network, and it illustrates that R&D networks operate as both sources and learners. In Figure 10, an arrow pointing away from the lab indicates the lab as a source of spillovers, and an arrow pointing to a lab indicates the lab as a learner from spillovers. One implication is that a firm's value as a source depends on its ability to learn from its external environment. The nodes in the R&D network correspond to the R&D labs, and the arrows indicate spillover flows between labs. The color bar indicates the importance of the R&D lab and the system's influence of the interactions. The most influential node is brown, but it's not shown here, and the least and the least is dark blue, and the arrows follow the same scheme. The analysis, which is based on real data, identifies AT&T, Honeywell, and Xerox as the most important MEMS organizations in the network. The full network contains more nodes incorporating interactions through third order diffusion of spillovers. And I'm going to end it here and to say that this type of methodology, which I said it seems much more complicated than it is when you have the time to go through it and understand how the fuzzy logic and truth values are created. It hasn't been applied really to current ATP projects. There was some work done by the author, but the thought is this type of methodology could be used to predict where spillover knowledge spillovers might occur, or it might also be used in retrospect to measure the impact of knowledge spillovers that were already conducted. Say if you had an ATP project and you could look at your labs, because we usually do have large universities or other types of labs involved in our joint ventures and a lot of times in our single applicant companies. So this has been part of the fun that I've had working at ATP in terms of finding out what the new economic theories and methodologies are on the horizon. So thank you.
Kathy.